My name's Nathan Weaver. I'm one of the priests here at Church of the Cross, and it is my joy to be with you all today. Our scripture reading today comes from the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the young people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them these names. Daniel he called Belshazzar, Hananiah he called Shadrach, Mishael he called Meshach, and Azariah he called Abednego. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Have you ever heard the phrase, bloom where you're planted? It's one of those idioms that it calls us to make the best out of life's difficult situations. So another idiom that's similar to that is like, whenever life gives you lemons, we make lemonade, right? So most folks say that bloom where you're planted actually comes from the writings of Francis de Sales, a great Catholic theologian from the early 1600s. The original quote was this: "The love of God has been poured into our hearts by his Spirit dwelling in each one of us, calling us to live a life of devotion and inviting us to bloom in the garden where he has planted us." One of the inescapable realities of life is that we want to be in places where everything is easy. We want to be planted in the Garden of Eden. But the reality is, all of life is difficult and filled with challenge, and folks haven't lived in the Garden of Eden for a really long time. And so, very rarely do we find ourselves planted in convenient places. More often than not, we find ourselves in difficult situations in life. We face suffering from living in a broken world where tragic things happen daily around us. We face suffering from the sinful and selfish choices of both of others and of ourselves. And we face suffering from walking the narrow road of holiness of heart and life. If you believe in Jesus and you faithfully follow him, you are choosing an unpopular path that will come with hardship. These are realities that sometimes surprise us, but they really shouldn't, because Jesus, in his teaching, he said he prepared us for this life of suffering. Whenever he was talking to his disciples right before his death on the cross, Jesus looked at them and said, "Listen, I have told you all of these things so that you may have peace. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world." God doesn't promise that everything in life will be smooth sailing, but God promises to send us the Holy Spirit to empower us, to minister to us, so that we can become overcomers whenever we face adversity. Paul reminds us of this truth in Romans 8. He says, "Can anything separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us." Sometimes we associate hardship in life with some sort of failing of our own. You know, I'm really going through this hard time because God has forsaken me, or because I've really messed up, or because God doesn't care for me anymore. But the reality is, if we're faithful to God, and we live in this world, on this side of eternity, we are going to be hungry, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be destitute, we're going to have calamity and trouble, and we're going to be threatened with death. Yet, despite all of these things, the promise of Scripture is that Christ loves us. And then he promises that we will become more than overcomers of these hard times. God calls us, in the middle of the hardship, to be productive for him, to be faithful to him wherever we are planted. I've always enjoyed growing things. It's been one of my hobbies, and it's one of my, probably my most common sermon illustrations has to do with something that I've grown or failed to grow, usually that one. But this summer, I decided I'm going to plant some things in my yard, but I don't really have a space for that in my yard. So I bought these potters, these like big pots, and I put a lot of dirt in them, and I put some pepper plants in them and some tomato plants. And I was really proud of the progress because I faithfully watered them, I fertilized them, and they grew into these really big bushes. But as you all know, it gets really, really hot here in the summertime. And if you, the roots in these plants, they had limited capacity to grow because they were in smaller pots. And so what I did is I had to water them every day, and I took diligent care of these things. And yet one morning I woke up and I went outside to water them, and this is what I found. They had been totally decimated by deer. Listen, I grew up in the hills of West Virginia. I was used to deer, but I live in the middle of Bluffton now. I thought, surely this, my front yard is safe from these predators. I was wrong. But I kept watering and I kept fertilizing, and before long, they grew, and the pepper plants began producing again. So, you and I, we can be a lot like these pepper plants. We find ourselves placed in a place that is not ideal, where it gets really hot, and unless you get watered every day, you're going to dry up. Or we feel like we're not growing enough because our roots are kind of bound up in this small area. And then just whenever we feel like we're really thriving, just whenever we're starting to be fruitful, something happens in our life, and it feels like our leaves are just clipped off, right? Have you ever felt like you're really starting to make some headway in life, and all of a sudden something really goes bad at work? Or there's this really big tragedy in your life with your family. Or someone's just unnecessarily cruel or hurtful, right? And it feels like just like you were doing well in life, boom, tragedy happens and your leaves are gone. And you have a choice in that moment. Am I going to start over or am I going to just quit? We find ourselves spiritually and literally, physically, mentally, emotionally, in this place time and time again. Our scripture reading tells us that whenever you find yourselves uprooted in a foreign place with all of your leaves plucked off, we have a choice to be fruitful in the place that God has planted us. So we have the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is probably one of the best-known Bible stories that has ever been handed down from generation to generation. There are people out in the world who have no idea why Jesus died on the cross, have no clue about the finer points of theology, but they remember from Sunday school that Daniel survived the lion's den. But why did Daniel survive the lion's den? Why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego step out of the fiery furnace? It was because they chose to be faithful to God in a place and an environment that was unfriendly to their faith. Our scripture reading today comes from the first chapter of Daniel, and it provides the context for our story. You see, 600 years before the life of Jesus Christ, the people of Israel found themselves in a pretty difficult predicament. There was a growing power in the world, the kingdom of Babylon, and it was ruled by the ruthless Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had defeated the Assyrians, and he had moved on and defeated the Egyptians, and now he was just picking off all of these little kingdoms around, and he had his eyes fixed on defeating Judah, which was a rich but tiny little kingdom in the middle of the Middle East there. And so he goes against them, and he defeats them. And what's interesting here is that we find in our scriptures that God is the one who allowed him to defeat them. It says the Lord allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take the sacred things out of the temple. This was totally devastating to the few faithful people left in Judah. The reason God let Judah be conquered was because they had, generation after generation, had chosen rebellion over faithfulness. They had chosen to follow idols over worshiping the one true God. They had chosen to be cruel and to violate all of the commands. And so finally, God allows them to be conquered. And what that came with at this time in history was they were literally carried off. They were led away. All of the rich, all of the powerful were led into exile away from their homeland into a foreign land. And the reason they did this was because if they were in their homeland, it would be easy for this rebellion to foment. It would be easy for them to retain their cultural heritage, their identity. But Nebuchadnezzar wanted to totally destroy and disrupt all of that. He wanted to prevent them from rebelling. He wanted to take away their cultural and religious heritage. He wanted to take away their identity of worshiping God by putting them in this new place. Yet even in this hostile and foreign place, there were four young men whose names were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who decided that even though we're in this place that's difficult, even though they're trying to train us in all of these new ways, they're trying to get us to adopt this new religion, we are going to be faithful to the commands of our scriptures. We're going to be faithful to the one true God. And one of the great truths from this passage is that God will choose to bless us and use us even through the difficult situations in life. You know, whenever they were dragged off and brought to this new place, it would have been easy for their prayer to be like, Lord, just get me out of this situation. But I don't think that was their primary prayer here. Because what we see is the fruit of their actions. They weren't trying to escape. They weren't trying to go back. They were trying to be faithful. So I think their prayer was like, Lord, help me be faithful, even in the midst of this difficult time. In fact, you know, none of these four men ever went back to Judah. They all died in Babylon. They were totally dedicated, though, to being faithful to God in the midst of difficult situations. Immediately, the first story of Daniel and his friends is that the king appoints people to educate them and to prepare them to be effective. Part of this was feeding them the rich delicacies of Babylon. We don't know exactly what foods they were offered, but it was clearly something that contradicted the food laws of the Old Testament. And so Daniel and his friends refused to eat the king's food, and they requested to be put on a special diet. The king's man refused because here's what would have happened. If he would have put them on this other diet, and if they had actually gotten weaker or they had not looked as healthy as the others, at the end of the time, both those men and the person that was responsible for training them would have all been put to death. But he says, just try it for 1 week. Let us live this different lifestyle and eat these different foods for 1 week. And if we're not stronger, if we're not better, then we'll go and we'll eat whatever you tell us to eat. So after 1 week, it says in the scriptures that they were healthier, they were stronger, their faithfulness to God was rewarded by God, and they were stronger. And so they allowed them to continue in this different lifestyle. You know, often people complain. We like to complain whenever we're in a difficult situation. We want to ask God to deliver us, to pull us out of this. Or we compromise our values for the sake of comfort or for the sake of fitting in. But Daniel and his friends make a clear decision here. We will not compromise. We will be faithful to the Lord. They risked their status. They even risked their lives. But they chose to fear God over fearing man. So what are some situations that you and I will face where we have to make this choice to be faithful to God over faithful to the demands of others? Some of us will find ourselves in difficult workplaces. If you've ever been in a bad work environment, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe the people are tough, or they're making fun of Christians, or they make your life difficult. Maybe the culture is super bad. So how do we respond to these challenges? The first thing that we're going to try to do is to get out. We're like, I don't want to be a part of this. But sometimes God sends us to difficult places to help be agents of transformation. The second temptation is, if we're there, we just try to go with the flow, keep our heads down, don't let anyone see who we really are so that we can just, you know, kind of go the path of least resistance. But God can use us in these situations. Now, here's the amazing thing. In Daniel, it says, because of Daniel, because of their dedication to God, their faithfulness to be different, even at risking their own reputation, the risk of their lives, it says God blessed them. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. In Daniel, it says that they were found 10 times more capable than the others. If God is sending you into a difficult workplace, He will allow you to prove your reason for being there. He will bless your competence, but that's if you take the risk to be faithful to Him. I wonder, would God have blessed these four men if they had run from their situation? Would God have blessed them like this if they had compromised their values? Would God have blessed them if they had chosen to hide their faith? I think these are important questions for us to wrestle with as well. Some other situations you might face. You might be in a really difficult family situation where you find yourself with a stubborn, hard-headed, broken family. Praying that God will change others is an easy prayer. Lord, my loved one over here is so difficult. They're just driving me crazy. Will you just change them? Make them easier to live with, right? That's the easiest prayer in the world, and that's something that we're probably going to do. How many of y'all have prayed for someone to change around you, right? The harder prayer is to pray this. Lord, I have a really difficult situation here. Change me to be stronger. Change me to love them more radically. Change me to be a better example to them, right? That's the harder prayer. So whenever you find yourself in a difficult family situation, difficult relational situation, pray that God will enable you to be the example. He will enable you to be stronger, to help guide them toward faithfulness. Now, there's a third area that every single one of us will find ourselves in where we're called to be faithful. And that is how to be faithful in a nation that continually disagrees with our values and doesn't understand us as Christians. If you value Scripture and you seek to live according to the morals of Christ, if you allow, you know, this heritage that has been handed down from generation to generation to truly be your faith that defines you and defines how you live and how you believe, if you choose that, you will be radically different from the world around you. And because of that, you will be misunderstood and you will be marginalized for taking a stand on biblical truths. We as Christians do not let popular opinion guide what we believe, but we choose to stand upon God's principles that have been handed down from generation to generation. We are called to be faithful to these things, to stand for the truth, even whenever it is an adversarial sort of situation. And the reality is, God will use our faithfulness as a witness to those who don't know God. Evangelism is the process where we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, and whenever we preach, whenever we proclaim the good news, words are important. It's important for me to say something and for someone to believe it, but even more powerful than our words are our actions and how we choose to handle ourselves in difficult times. Your outward faithfulness to God can mightily proclaim the truth of Jesus. And that's exactly what we find in our second great story in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were choosing to be faithful in the midst of a trying time. So King Nebuchadnezzar, as the ruler of the biggest empire in the world up to that point, he had a little bit of an ego problem. It's probably understandable. If it was me, I probably would too. And so Nebuchadnezzar decides to build this 90-foot golden statue. And he says, everyone, whenever we play music, you've got to bow down and worship me. You got to worship this statue. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, nope, sorry, I can't do that. I worship God alone. And there were some people who were jealous of the positions of leadership that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had been put in, and they were jealous of their competence, they were jealous of their blessing, and so sure enough, whenever this started happening, they went and looked for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they found that these three men were not bowing down to worship Nebuchadnezzar's statue. And they call up Nebuchadnezzar and say, hey, you've got these three guys, they're causing some problems, they're not worshiping you, and so they go before Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar says, listen, I'll give you one last chance. It's a very simple thing. Just bow down and worship me when the music plays. And they say no. This is what they say. They say, this is what Nebuchadnezzar says. If you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? And I can just imagine them kind of smiling and they're like, what God can rescue you from us from your power? Our God can rescue us. No human, no political figure, no agenda has true power over us, because all true power lies in Christ, lies in God, who is eternal. And someone may be able to take our physical life here and now, but we will live forever in heaven with Christ. They can fire you if they don't like you telling others about Jesus in your workplace. They can make fun of you or talk bad about you behind your back. They can make your life difficult or even take your life. But that is nothing compared to the power of our God, who holds us securely and who can save us. David cries out in Psalm 56, I will trust in the Lord. I will not be afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the furnace, the God who we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, we will never serve your gods. Can you imagine living that kind of faithfulness? To say, you know what, even if God doesn't save us, I will never compromise. I will never give up. I will never reject my faith. So the three men were tied up. They were thrown into the furnace. And as they were standing there, a fourth person appears in the flames with them. Nebuchadnezzar jumps up and says, didn't we not throw three men into the furnace? Yet they are not consumed. And look, I see a fourth, and his face looks like the face of one of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar says, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. And they come out, and it says, not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. I don't know about you, but I love sitting outside around a campfire. But you can stand like 100 feet away from a campfire and you'll smell like smoke for a week. They did not smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar makes a profound declaration. He says, there is no other God who can rescue like this. I wonder how many people came to faith in the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that day because of their faithfulness. Whenever you go through trials in life, there will be moments where it feels like you are literally going through the fires of hell. But there is a great promise that Jesus will always be with you. The one who was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire of the furnace is with you today. He will strengthen you. He will be with you. He will preserve you. But even if he doesn't, he will preserve us into everlasting life. I think it's crucial to understand that we are called to be faithful even when it's not popular, even when our situation becomes more unbearable because of it. The final story in the book, right, is Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel was commanded to not pray for 90 days. At that time, the custom was to bow down and pray toward Jerusalem. All Daniel had to do to avoid getting in trouble for this was simply not allow his faith to be evident. He could have prayed silently. How many of us, you know, whenever we're sitting at the restaurant and we're like, I really need to pray for my food, but I don't want anyone. So this is our prayer for the food. That's it. Every once in a while, I see someone like hold hands and like pray out loud. I'm like, oh, that's really nice. Look at that's a testimony over there, you know. But so many folks just like, we don't want to allow our faith to be seen. But Daniel, he opens up the doors. He goes out on his porch, even whenever it was forbidden, and he prayed out loud to God. And because of that, the people who were, again, jealous of Daniel reported him, and he was thrown into the lion's den. It's amazing, though, that continuously, as he did throughout the book of Daniel, God preserves Daniel. He reveals that he has a purpose for them. He gave them a strength whenever they didn't eat the king's food. He was with them and protected them whenever they were in the fire. He closed the mouths of lions. And it is important for us to say that if the Lord wants, he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we won't compromise. I wonder what challenging situations you are facing today, and what does standing firm in these situations look like? Is it a difficult situation with your family? Is it a difficult thing in your workplace? Is it just challenging being a Christian and being faithful whenever the winds of the world are changing us and calling us to lay down our beliefs? Regardless of where you find yourselves today, know that Jesus is with you and he's inviting us to be faithful. And he's given us a whole community of people to stand together with, to say, you know what? I'm going to link my hands with these other believers who believe the same thing, who are going through similar things, and we will make it through together. Whenever we come in just a few moments to the table to receive communion, communion is one of our great, one of the most important practices of in the history of the church. Because Jesus promises to be present at the table. And so whenever we open our hands and we receive that wafer and we dip it in the wine and receive it, this is a sign that Jesus is truly with us. So whatever burden you bear today, whatever situation you find yourself in, come to the table and give it to Jesus. This is an altar call, friends. This is an opportunity to come forward and lay it down. And to receive his strength and to be sent out from this place encouraged. You may feel as though you are passing through the fire or sleeping in the lion's den, but God is with us and he promises to strengthen us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for being with us through the fire. I pray, God, that regardless of where we are today, that we will come to you with open hearts, that you will come and nourish and strengthen us, that you would pull us toward faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for always being with us. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand and sing.